Warning. It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship, as we have concluded our summer services in the parlor and return to the sanctuary. And it's good to have you here. And we're resuming Sunday school classes today, and we welcome back the sanctuary choir as well. And it's just a good time to be starting their fall program and activities. I want to extend a special welcome to those who are visiting here. And if it is the first time here, we invite you to fill out a welcome card that you'll find in the pew rack in front of you. And I want to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a very special coffee hour today. It's an ice cream sundae social hour. And the Board of Christian Education is providing the fixings for ice cream sundaes. So to invite you, encourage you to stay and greet each other after the service. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin, the calendar for this week, and just wanting to highlight a couple things, that on Tuesday we will be providing a worship service at the Glen Ridge Nursing Center at 2, and Friday is our turn for providing a meal for Bread of Life's feeding program, and so that will be held Friday evening. Also, one announcement too, next Sunday we are tentatively planning to have a Christian Ed Board meeting after the service as well, but that will be more information will be coming out this week. But I also want to point your attention to an announcement there in the middle, that on Sunday, September 27th, we'll be having a bilingual service, Spanish and English, as we worship with Casa de Fe y Alabanza, the Hispanic congregation that rents space from our congregation, and they meet in the parish house, and it is their 15th anniversary. And which is a very significant time in the Latin culture, a very significant event. And so they have invited us, and we are their invited guests to come, and they'll be having people from the denomination here as well. We should have over 100 people worshiping together that Sunday. It will be over in the parish house on the second floor, but we'll be having lunch together back over here. And they are providing most of the meal for that day, so it's not a potluck on our part. It's to come, worship, and enjoy together and celebrate their 15th anniversary and our part in helping them to develop as a church. And that's part of that celebration that day. So looking forward to that on 2 weeks from today. So at this time, I invite you, Marilyn Glover continues to receive, collect signatures for a petition to get Community Preservation Act on the November ballot. For any residents in Malden or Medford who have not signed the petition yet, please see Marilyn afterwards if you're willing to sign that. You're not voting for it, you're just saying, yes, you're willing to put your name on it to try and get it as a ballot question. So at this point, let's turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 112 for our responsive call to worship. Let us read responsively from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods.
All the gods of the nations are idols. The Lord made the heavens.
Splendor and majesty are before him.
Strength and glory are in his sanctuary.
Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Bring an offering and come into his courts.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness.
Our opening hymn is We Have Come Into His House, number 113. We're singing verses 1 and 2 only. And those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, we do come into your house to worship you. We come for spiritual refreshment, for renewal, for tapping into the only power that lasts. Through this time of worship, help us to resonate with your spirit and find all the benefits of your presence. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We now pray as he taught, as we say aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. If there are children sitting farther back in the sanctuary who'd like to come forward for our moments together, I invite you to do that now. Good morning. Is everybody back in school? Yeah, it doesn't sound too happy that you're back in school. Have you had any papers that you've had to write or any quizzes yet? Some have. No, some are saying no. Some are saying yes already. A bunch of tests. Well, James, I'm sorry to tell you, as you get older, you tend to have more and more tests and papers to write and all those things. Well, that's wonderful. We're hearing a plug for a nice teacher, doesn't give a lot of homework yet. That's great. Or a lot of work to do. That's great. Naomi, how's your first full week? So when you think about, and I don't know whether your schools grade on numbers or letters, but oftentimes if it's done on letters, the average, you know, it's usually considered a C. If you get a D, it's not as good. On your way to an F, but a B or an A is even better. But a C is sort of average, you know, it's being ordinary, what most people. There's some people above and some people below, but that's where most people fit in, is at the C level. Well, I've been thinking about that as far as ordinary people, and that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things, and that's sort of my theme today of my message. And we're talking about David, who was a shepherd, and really was when God sent the prophet to anoint him, to select him, and let him know that he was going to be the next king. He was just a young boy. He was the youngest brother, and all the other brothers were at home. And the father was saying, well, isn't it one of them? And God kept telling him, no, no, no. And finally, the prophet said, well, are there any more? Like, any more sons? Well, yeah, there's just David, but, you know, he's little, he's young, he that won't amount to much. They said, go get him. And the minute David walked in the house, the prophet heard from God, this is the one, this is the one I've chosen. Ordinary person, chosen to do extraordinary things. And David became the king of Israel, the best, most favorite, loved king of Israel. Well, thinking about going back to being an average, there's a song I want us to just go through the words this morning. I'm not going to sing it, but it's talking about being a C, and it is. It's, I am a C. Let me say that after me. I am a C. I am a C-H. I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. Can you say that? I-A-N. And if we are that, what happens? What does that mean? That means, and I have who? C-H-R-I-S-T. Where? In my H-E-A-R-T. And I will, what? L-I-V-E-E-T-E-R-T. N-A-L-L-Y. So being a C is not a bad thing. Being a Christian is not a bad thing. Because when we have Christ where? In our hearts, what's going to happen? We're going to live for how long? Eternally. Forever. Forever. If we have Christ in our hearts. And I want you to think about that. The next time you're taking a test and say, oh, doesn't mean that Jesus is going to help you pass the test if you didn't study. Or write the paper for you if you go out and play and you should be studying and writing your papers. You know, that doesn't, but Christ will help us, will be there. And Christ, well, has promised that we will live eternally with him in heaven. That's something to remember. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you that you call and invite and use the gifted people, the non-gifted people, and the ordinary people. Especially, Lord, that you use the ordinary people, the C people, the people, the average people. And Lord, remind us that by being average, we're also Christians, and that we will live eternally if we have Christ in our hearts. Lord, we just pray now that as our students and teachers go to their class, that they may be reminded of Christ's love for them, and that they may carry that love with them this week. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. You may go to your class. Thank you, Irene and Marilyn. Come the time in our service that we have an opportunity of sharing celebrations and concerns and spending a few moments in prayer together. We want to continue to remember Peggy Blum as she recuperates at home. And we continue to remember Cindy, but Cindy's back in the choir today. It's good that Cindy Huddy's well enough and fit to be in the choir today. It's great. We want to remember Joan Rasteen, and Joan hasn't been able to be here for quite a while now, and we want to keep Joan in our prayers. Claire Stevens has moved, as I mentioned last week. I was at Dottie Fox's for ABW yesterday, and Claire called while we were there. So, and Mark, I got a longer conversation, I think, with Mark, but, Claire's doing well in Florida, and we continue to pray for her as she's doing this transition. We want to keep the Hickey family in prayer. Jim's sister passed away last Sunday, so I want to keep the Hickey family in prayer during this time. And do you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns you'd like to share with the church family? Lana? Today's Dorothy's birthday. Happy birthday, Dorothy. It's nice to have you here with us to be able to celebrate, so happy birthday. Any other requests for prayer? Did I see any other hands? All right, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it is good to be able to come to your house today. It's especially nice to be back in the sanctuary, to enjoy the beauty of the stained glass windows, to hear the music of the organ, to, as one person said, have a little more elbow room for personal comfort, but also, Lord, just to the majesty of this sanctuary, to worship you in this place. We thank you for this church building, but for this congregation as well, Lord, that we have a rich heritage. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to guide us and bless us in the present and in the future, that we may continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ from this corner and around the world. Lord, as I can hear rain falling outside, as we are grateful for the rain for the parched earth. We enjoy the sunshine, Lord, but we know that the rain is so necessary. And just simple blessings, Lord, that we sometimes take for granted. And we pray that you would forgive us when we take you for granted, Lord, that we would not forget you. We pray that you would continue to remind us when we tend to wander. Continue to call us back to your fold, to your flock. Lord, this day we lift up those who are ill and pray for your healing touch according to your will in their lives. We pray for those who have lost loved ones recently and they were feeling separation, sadness, and are mourning that loss. And just pray for your spirit of comfort and peace to be with them during this difficult time. Lord, we pray for those who are suffering through the wildfires in the western part of our nation, and just to see things erupting and knowing that water is running out in a dry area already. And just pray for those that may be losing homes and businesses. And Lord, we just pray for people's safety because Tangible things can be rebuilt, but lives may be lost forever. Lord, we just pray for those, and we pray for those who are working to battle those fires as well. Lord, as our mind goes around our globe, we are mindful of all the refugees coming out of Syria and the nations that are accepting some of them and others that are just waiting in camps to know what their future will be. Lord, we pray for those that are in that type of situation. Lord, we just pray that your spirit may be with them, with those that are working with them, that there may be homes for them found where they may be safe, secure. Lord, we thank you for this time of worship together. Thank you that our Sunday school and choir are back in session. We pray for those members, those volunteers that provide leadership in those programs. And now, Lord, we offer all of these things to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We read in Scripture that part of our responsibility as God's people is to return a portion of our blessings to God as a thank you offering. So this time, the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts.
Jesus, the light of the world, shine upon us and stand on us free by the truth you have freed us. Shine. morning's scripture reading comes from 1 Samuel 16. I'll be reading the first 13 verses. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one that I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse said. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him, for we will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel went to Ramah.
Thank you, Michael. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard this morning from your holy word, the anointing of David to become king, we're mindful of Jesse and his sons and even Samuel, who he expected would be the next king. Lord, you demonstrated through the selection of David that you have other ways of evaluating people than our human ways. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we come as ordinary people. Some of us may feel inferior. Others of us may feel that, you know, we have more education, perhaps more skill, and therefore we are able to give more than perhaps someone else can. Not with an ego, but just that we have accomplished much and we have much to give back. Lord, wherever we are on that spectrum, we come to you this day. We pray, Lord, that you would call to us and show us what you would have us be doing. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. We ask this all in his name. Amen. One of the greatest pressures we all operate under is the imperative to succeed. Whether it's succeeding in school, at the job, in life. Parents no longer worry about their children getting into a good college. They worry about getting them into a good preschool. What will it show on their resume for their elementary school and their high school? What's their pedigree? Increasingly, a bachelor's degree only qualifies its recipient to work at a fast food restaurant. Throughout our generation, we have witnessed an increasing drive to stand head and shoulders above everyone else, either through our looks, our wealth, our success, or for some even our silliness. I'm mindful of many of the television programs that foster the videotaping of silliness that people may go through, like America's Funniest Home Videos and other shows like that. But today's cultural standard avoids averages in favor of the extremes. If you're in the middle, you're nothing. You've got to be on the outside of the extremes to be noticed. Dazzling successes or even splashy failures become our heroes. Average is to be avoided at all costs. The problem with this attitude is that it's neither scripturally true nor sociologically accurate. Any high school reunion confirms the fact that the inconspicuous C student often blossoms into the civic leader, the backbone of the community. And the Bible over and over again tells how God can use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. This is what so astonished the people of Jesus' day. Here was an ordinary carpenter, a typical resident from a side street in Nazareth, a small town. He was not a scholar or a rabbi, just a semi-skilled craftsman making his living with his hands. How could he be the promised Son of God, the Messiah, as Nathanael, one of his eventual followers, asked, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" The Apostle Paul said that the first Christians counted not many who were wise according to worldly standards, not many who were powerful, not many who were of noble birth. But I want us to take just a moment this morning to look at how God used average people to do wondrous and mighty things. And the list is too long. We'd be here all afternoon and evening, and I'm not going to keep us that long. But just a few highlights. Ordinary people like Shiphrah, Puah, two midwives who dared to defy the Egyptian pharaoh because they answered to a higher power and protected a baby who became an eventual leader of God's people. Ordinary people like Moses, a goat herder who was shy, fearful, and afraid to speak in front of people. Yet he led God's people out of slavery into freedom. Ordinary people like Amos, a shepherd who God used to bring a message of warning and hope to God's people. Ordinary people like the 12 disciples, fishermen and tax collectors, none of them rich or famous or studied, just 12 common men with common faith. Ordinary people, C people, average people, like one of those 12 disciples named Peter, who though he was one of Jesus' closest followers, became part of that inner circle that seemed to be with Jesus almost every place he went. He also denied knowing Jesus 3 times in the matter of a few minutes. But after the resurrection, Jesus forgave Peter and commissioned him to feed Jesus' sheep, to tend his flock. And this man, with presumably little education, became the first spokesperson for the apostles after receiving the Holy Spirit, and powerfully shared the message of Jesus with others, where thousands were baptized after following his first sermon. Ordinary people, like the Apostle Paul, who was one of the most educated men of his day, and he severely persecuted the early Christians. Yet God opened his eyes to the glory of Jesus, and once Paul knew Jesus, he used all of his education, his gifts, his talents, and directed them towards sharing the gospel throughout the Roman Empire. If we read the Bible with an eye toward whom God chooses, we see over and over again that God has let the gospel hang by a thread. He hasn't shored it up. He's just let it out there, waiting for common people to pick up the slack. God's committing the future to insignificant people, unnamed and unknown in many cases, but ordinary, not outlandish in their talents. In today's scripture, we find young David, a scrawny adolescent chosen to replace the handsome and charismatic Saul. But David's obedience to God's word, his faith in God's presence in his life, and his humility before God when he failed, established him as Israel's greatest ruler. We move to the New Testament again, and we read the resurrection accounts of Jesus in the Gospels. We find an incredible event. The rejected, crucified Jesus is, by the power of God, raised from the dead, transformed, redeemed, glorified, and given a new body of glory. And what happens with that? According to Luke, one of his first appearances is to a person unnamed and unknown, and to a man named Cleopas, who, after his witness to the remaining disciples, is never heard from again. Unnamed people. People who are named but yet then become anonymous or an unknown for what they do afterwards, shared the message of the resurrection, that he's alive. From the time the disciples were just hearing that message and questioning whether it was true. Our world is led by ordinary people, C people, average people, not the best and the brightest only, but the committed, the consecrated, and the compassionate. In the Bible, we find over and over again that average C people prevail. God chooses ordinary people to achieve extraordinary tasks. The things we say we'll never do. That's not me. That's not in me. I can't do that. Become the very things that God's grace leads us into doing. God gives us the resources we need at the time that we need them. If we are just open to God leading in our lives. Psychologist Eugene Kennedy talks about the wonder of the ordinary. He observes that when persons suffer mental illnesses, they lose something of their individuality. They exhibit common kinds of behavior that we call symptoms. Because of the similarity of their symptoms, people can be classified as having the same kind of illness. But that's not the way it is with ordinary people. Healthy, ordinary people cannot be put into categories for a startlingly simple reason. They are all different from one another. Nobody exhibits the same predictable pattern responses. In other words, the wonder of the ordinary is that we are all extraordinary. How often do we fail to see in life the wonder and the mystery that is there because we do not appreciate the ordinary? Sometimes we just don't observe it. We bypass it. We don't notice. How often do we reject the good news because it does not appear as we expect it to? This reminds me of the prophet Elijah. When he had been very faithful to God, but was also very fearful that God's unfaithful people would take his life. He had witnessed them slaughter his comrades, the other prophets, and he was afraid for his life. In fact, Elijah runs to the hills and hides in a cave. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah and told him to leave the cave and to stand up on the mountain and wait for the Lord's presence. Boldly, Elijah did as he was instructed and waited. And as the Lord passed by, there was a great and strong wind that split the hills and shattered the rocks. But the Lord was not in the wind. And when the wind stopped blowing, then there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a soft whisper of a voice. Older translations say a still, small voice. When Elijah heard it, he covered his face with his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the Lord spoke with Elijah and then sent him on to anoint the next kings of Syria and Israel, as well as Elijah's successor. How often do we expect to find God in the extraordinary bombastic elements of life and perhaps miss his presence in the ordinary, even mundane events? Some people seem to expect that God's presence in the world should be a march orchestrated by John Philip Sousa. Others think that God's presence should be like the Statue of Liberty, with its torch lighting the darkness for miles around. For these people, God simply does not exist if they do not encounter him in the ways that they expect. Imagine what would have happened to Elijah if he had not waited for that most commonplace, quiet voice, something that could have been overlooked. But Elijah was in tune and waiting for God's presence. We must not miss the wonder of God because of the average. So we must not let the miraculous skip us by because of the common. Subtlety and restraint are signs of good taste. And God has infinitely good taste. For God has put wonder in the ordinary. So for those of us who are feeling very ordinary today, God bless you. God blesses the ordinary as well as the extraordinary. And may we look for God, not in all the extraordinary places alone, but also in the very mundane and ordinary places of life. For those are the places that God is most likely to appear to us. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have reflected on several of your people throughout Scripture, we recognize that you do not look at external evaluations like we often do, but you look at the heart. And even when people don't have skills that you are challenging them to use, you provide ways and means that they are able to accomplish the tasks that you call them to. So, Lord, we come in our common place today. We come as common people, praying, Lord, that you would use us in whatever way that you would have us be used, that whether it's with our voices, our actions, whether it's through our prayers, whatever it might be, where we pray that we may be in tune for your spirit. We may be like David to accept that challenge, be like Moses, be like the other heroes and heroines of the faith, that when you call, we say, "Here, Lord, here I am. Send me, use me your best way." Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, and we pray that we may be faithful followers in all that we do. It's in his name that we ask all of this. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is "Teach Me Thy Way, O Lord," number 91.
Thank you.
by faith. Ordinary people have accomplished extraordinary acts of great love and courage. By faith, go now to run the race that God has prepared for you. May Jesus lead you. May God's love uphold you. And may the Spirit's power sustain you now and forever. Amen.